it's Tuesday and it's 8:35, that means it's time for the Positive Points on Aging. And that means it's time to visit with our friends from Oakleaf Village in Lexington. We want to welcome Katie in from Oakleaf and say good morning to you, Miss Katie. It's good to have you with us here on a beautiful Tuesday.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
We are well, thank you.
Good.
Really, really appreciate you hanging out with us and spending some time with us. I want to talk about a number of things, but really maybe kind of clear up some things, get some distinctiveness on differences between things like nursing homes and assisted living and all of that. And just I think a lot of folks clump all of it together, not necessarily understanding what a person's needs might be at that time and their age. So let's talk a little bit about that, and we'll see where it takes us.
Absolutely. So that's probably one of my biggest things that I've noticed when people come in to do a tour. They're just first thing usually out of their mouth is, well, my mom did not want to go to a nursing home, and they didn't want to go to a skilled facility. Well, they're in assisted living. So then I realized that they didn't know the difference between. So I've noticed that that's kind of come up several times in the last, I would say, 2 months or so, especially with December coming around, all the families visiting. So now they have questions. So that's how this became about. And nursing home and assisted living are, of course, they are DHEC regulated. So they are both the same when it comes to that. There's license and things that they have to have. A nursing home is more of a skilled care need. And what that means is there is a nurse on site, and they also have overseen care by a physician. And where in assisted living, they doesn't necessarily have to have a nurse in-house. Some locations do. Some of them are blessed to be able to have a nurse on site, and some of them do not. But that means they have trained staff, so they have CNAs, or they have med techs, or they just have caregivers. And they all go through different types of training, depending on their corporate office and depending on that. But, you know, that's one thing that DHEC is looking at, is making sure that they have trained professional staff.
So one of the, when we think about our loved ones choosing one or two of these facilities, would their doctor tell us, like, they need to be somewhere where they're going to have access to a nurse 24 hours a day, or they're going to need that clinical care 24 hours?
Correct. And usually when they know it's a skilled need, yes, they're going to kind of push you towards a nursing home, a skilled facility. For as someone that may need just the extra assistance, may need a little extra hands-on, there are times that the physicians will say, yeah, you just need to go to an assisted living. But there are times once they come to our building, they come to tour, then we realize they have some skill care needs that are much bigger than what the physician realized, that there's going to be more hands-on, that they need that 24-hour-a-day true hands-on care. And it could be anything from having a feeding tube, or they could have a colostomy bag, or they can have a catheter, things like that, just depending on the person and what's going on with them, if they have a wound. And that's one thing that some physicians don't realize, that they may have that wound on their bottom because they're not treating it. Maybe
right.
Another physician is. So their general practitioner may be saying, yeah, you can just go to an assisted living. Well, if they have wound care needs, that's something that's going to have dressing and changing and medications. Mm-hmm. And sometimes your diet has to change as well because you're trying to heal that wound. So it may be an opportunity where they really need to be in a skilled care, because you can't come to an assisted living with a wound.
Gotcha. So skilled care facility would be able to provide help or assistance with things like colostomy bags and catheters and wound care and all these things.
Yep.
These all fall in the realm of what a nurse could do for you.
Absolutely.
I got you.
Yep.
But then you mentioned that the assisted living facilities sometimes do have, say, for example, CNAs on mm-hmm. site. Do they have LPNs? I mean, what's the level of skill that we have with the assisted living?
It just depends on the facility. So like right now with Oakley Village being one of them, we do have an RN on site. And Jenny works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but that doesn't mean that she's in the building 24 hours a day, seven
right.
days a week. She
right.
feels like it. So a lot of times we'll have a question, or if the med tech at that night or if the caregiver that night has a question, then she's going to call or text Jenny. And that's just how most of the buildings work. Every building is different. I have marketed to several of these buildings, and they don't have a nurse on site, but they may have an LPN, or they may have a lead. I'm trying to think what a lead. What word were they using? It's not a nurse, but they're care coordinators.
Gotcha.
So they're
somebody who knows who to call.
Correct.
And be able to figure out like what level of care they actually need.
Correct.
I got you. Yeah. Yep.
And sometimes what they'll do is they'll have to call their regional nurse for their corporate place. So it just depends on each building. So that makes a big difference for them.
Yeah.
You know, in assisted living, they're doing assistance. They're also doing the fun things like the activities of daily living. They're doing arts and crafts. But that also can happen in skilled facilities as well. So it's not that they don't do anything, that they're just going to be sitting around in chairs and not doing nothing.
Right.
They still have activities. A lot of times they'll do group activities together, big group activities, which could be part of their PT, part of their OT, and part of their speech that's in that building as well.
Right. PT, physical therapy, OT, occupational therapy.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, because I forget that up.
That's
not
okay.
Everybody knows those things.
That's okay. Right.
That's a regular term for us.
Sounds to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds to me like a lot of this has to go right back to how someone is diagnosed or someone is really just assessed through the assessment process, because that to me is where a lot of mistakes, I think, can be made if you don't have the proper assessment.
Absolutely. And most all facilities, especially skilled facilities, are going to do an assessment to make sure that they're appropriate for their building. Same thing, we do the same thing. When they come in, we give a tour. Yeah, it may look great and wonderful, but if we sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and go through it with the nurse and she does the assessment skills, it could be that they are such a higher level of care that they truly do need. And of course, that doesn't benefit us just because, you know, we might want to move in, but if I can't take care of that person, or if Karen can't take care of that person the right way, then we're not doing their justice for them. So we definitely would send them over towards a skilled facility. That's what we would do.
The assessment is critical, because again, I know people are trying to fill beds, and I'm obviously not saying that about Oakleaf. I'm saying in general,
absolutely.
People are trying to fill beds, and I realize that it's a competitive industry and this and that, blah blah blah. But you're not doing yourself any good if you bring someone in that doesn't meet what your skill set is. I mean, all you're doing basically is setting yourself up for failure and having a situation where somebody has to move in and then move right back out.
Absolutely. And meals. So, that's the other thing that we have. Mealtime for assisted living is going to be, you know, we provide 3 meals a day. It's good, nutritious. Our diet is more of a heart healthy diet. Whereas if they go into a nursing home or skilled facility, they're having their menu is kind of catered to them. They're still having some of the same foods, but they're making sure if this person's diabetic, they have to have this much salt intake. They can only have this. So they have a dietitian on staff at a skilled facility that can meet the needs of each individual resident.
These skilled facilities, what's the length of stay people could expect out of something like that? Like, because it seems like an assisted living facility could be a long-term solution.
Absolutely.
But that a skilled facility would be something for the short term while you're trying to get over something specific that's going on.
If you can get over something specific. Some of those are people that are moving in and that's their last place because they've got so many things wrong with them. That's why they're needing all that 24-hour care. It really depends on what they're in there for. I've had families go in to do rehab. Once they got done with rehab, they went ahead and put them in the skilled side because they needed to be there. They couldn't do the rehab anymore, so there's nothing else that they could do to make them better.
Mm-hmm.
So they were more of those bedbound patients that can't do anything. So those are the ones that stay at the skilled facility for however long their life will be there.
Right.
You know?
Well,
skilled nursing is not as prevalent either. There's not as many choices of skilled nursing, if I remember correctly.
That's correct.
Around the Midlands area and in many areas, many communities. Unfortunately, we're going to get to the need for more of those facilities because of the aging population. But the fact of the matter is, as of at least right now, that is because it's usually the last step. That's not where the biggest demand is right now.
Correct. Assisted living is very popular right now. Very, very much so, for sure.
Well, and I mean, again, there's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. It's because people are getting good care, and you can feel safe putting someone in many of these facilities.
Absolutely.
And that matters a lot. Agreed. It's 8:45. Let's get the Fox Biz Report. We'll come back with more with Katie.
Mornings with Kev. Columbia's Local Talk radio experience continues now from the Bart Fireside Studios.
Good morning. Welcome back in. It's 8:51 on a beautiful Tuesday morning. Thank you for being with us here on The Point. It's our Positive Points on Aging. Really excited to always get a chance to talk with our friends Karen and Katie over from Oakleaf Village in Lexington. They come in with really important topics and help us learn a little bit about this and that when it comes to our older adults, our seniors, our caregivers, caretakers, all of that. So we are really, really happy to have Miss Katie in the studio with Casey. I'm at the home base, and we're glad you're spending some time with us here at The Point. So we've been talking about the differences between assisted living and with nursing homes. And, again, I think it, again, goes back to how someone does an assessment, because I think people have a real misconception, Katie, about which is which when it comes to – I mean, because you can even have independent living before you get to assisted living. There's – I mean, there's just different levels of necessary care for someone, and the average person has no idea what's best for mom or dad until they sit down with an expert.
Absolutely. And sometimes we do find out that our parents always don't tell us the complete truth either. So that's another reason why the assessments are nice. They help. Because, you know, they think, oh, yeah, well, I can do that independently. I do this independently. Oh, I don't need any assistance with that. And then once we do an actual assessment, talk with them, we get them one-on-one and ask our medical-type questions, then it's, oh, so how – you're not taking your trash out? Why can't you take your trash out? Oh, well, I tend to trip over it. I fall. So more things come out in the wash, as they call it, once you start having those conversations with them. So it does make a difference. So, yes, it could be an independent living situation, assisted living, or the nursing home type.
I wonder, through those assessment conversations, how important it is to talk to your loved one about, like, it's not a test you can pass, right? Like, it's not like, you don't, when we go to the eye doctor, don't try to fool the eye doctor, right? Like, you want to get the right prescription.
Right.
So in this case, like, the same with an assessment, a lot of times we feel like you're being quizzed, but ultimately it's about trying to figure out what's the right fit for you.
Absolutely.
So being as honest and upfront as you can be, as forthcoming as you can be, means you're going to get the right fit.
Absolutely.
It's not a test you can pass. It's not a test you can fake. Like, let's have that conversation about, we're trying to do the right thing and find the right fit.
Oh, yeah. And there, we do a mini mental test when we do it as well. So there is a little test in the assessment, but that test kind of helps us determine, you know, yes, they are saying that their loved one has some memory loss. Well, a 30 is a perfect score.
Mm-hmm.
We've definitely done assessments where they did not make a 30.
Mm-hmm.
So, they could have made a 12 or a 10. So we've gotten some that thought that they were more what the family would say with it.
Mm-hmm.
Then once we do the assessment, then do that little mini mental, we're not exactly where we thought we were.
Right.
So that's what does make that assessment key for us.
Gotcha.
For sure.
But it goes deeper than that, doesn't it, Miss Katie, when it comes to you're in a tough situation because you guys almost have to be part-time psychologist, if you would, reading your audience, because you get people that come in and a lot of them are coming in reluctantly. I'm not even talking about the kids. I'm talking about the actual eventual resident.
Correct.
Potential resident. They're the ones that are on the defense because many of them are not ready to move or don't think they're ready to move and don't want to give up living at home. And it's not necessarily you guys trying to get them to leave home. If they can stay at home, you can tell them that. But,
right.
I mean, what stands out to me is that you guys are often in a situation where you're not only battling someone who might not be giving you the full information, but you're also battling someone who's trying to give the answers that make it look like they're fine to stay at home.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That happens often. And you know, when we're having those discussions, yeah, we almost feel like the part-time social worker, part-time cheerleader. You know, we have different roles that we have to play when we are talking with these families. And you're right. Some of these residents will come in, they're dragging their heels, they don't want to do it, but yet their loved ones say that they can't be with them, they can't check on them, they're worried about leaving them at home, they're not having any social interaction. And that's the biggest thing with assisted living, is you want someone that wants to be in a social environment, because that's the biggest thing for us. We're wanting them to be not lonely, not depressed. We want them to be having fun. They used to be a social butterfly. We want them to come to be in assisted living being that social butterfly. And when you're going to a nursing home, most of the time those nursing homes, they're having to be there because they have a medical need that needs assistance.
Right.
Whereas assisted living, you're still more of that social model. You're having a good time. Yes, you may need your medications managed, but you're not needing a true skill care need.
Well, you mentioned too when we were at the break that the assisted living has this like feel of a hotel with
yes.
a concierge.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can push the button and somebody can come help you pick something off the floor.
Absolutely.
Somebody can come help you get dressed or mm-hmm. open a drawer that's stuck. So it's just the kind of things that like around the house,
right.
if you had somebody in the house with you, you would call out to them and they would come. But if you're living at home by yourself, you don't have anybody who can come and help you get that drawer unstuck, help you get dressed, clean up a small mess, these kinds of things. In assisted living, that person's always just a button away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, in a nursing home, most of the time they have, it could be two people to a room. They have shared rooms. When you walk in there, it's more of that hospital setting.
Right.
That's kind of what it would make you think of as another type of wing that the hospital could have. That's what it looks like. So that's different versus when you go into a, you know, assisted living. They can look like hotels. They can look like an apartment complex. Some of them do look like that. Some of them are just one level of care. So one floor, and it kind of just looks like a long hallway for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of depends on which building you go to and look at. But they're completely different when you look at an assisted living, you know, versus a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of folks will, you know, I don't want to put my mom in a nursing home. It looks so skilled. It looks so, well, that's if your person doesn't need the skilled care needs, then maybe assisted living would be appropriate. But it depends on what their skills are and what
right.
they can and can't do.
And you think for the release from the hospital, their doctors are going to make that recommendation initially.
Yep.
Yeah, social workers will make that recommendation initially. And then
yep.
it's on the family to go and see these different facilities and
absolutely.
Walk through them and talk to the managers and that sort of thing.
And I encourage them to do that with any kind of facility, whether it's assisted living, skilled care, if they're looking for independent living, go and look at the place. And I can tell you, looking at the wallpaper doesn't mean makes it the prettiest and the greatest thing in the world. You need to talk to the people that work there, how long their longevity, how long they've been there. Some of the skill cases, if it's a skill care need, have they ever dealt with somebody that has X, Y, and Z?
Right.
And then you can kind of go and see what kind of care levels they can have and what extra caveats they may have. Do they have a physician on site? Oh, if it's a skill care. If it is it one group or is it two different groups? Because some of them have more than one physician services in-house. Assisted living could have someone that comes in as a outside provider to do some care there as well. So it just kind of depends.
Lots to learn, lots to look into.
Yep.
For sure. If people do have more questions for you, what's the best way for them to track you down, Miss Katie?
They can give us a call at 803-808-3477, or they can look up us online at oakleyvillagelexington.com.
Good stuff. Well, appreciate you coming on in, as always. Thank you for that. Thank you, Miss Casey. Great job, as always. I'll see everybody at 4 o'clock today on the afternoon drive.
Mornings with Kev.